Hey, hey, everybody out there. What's going on? Hope everybody's feeling good. I know that I am. This show is going to be a disaster, to say the least, I believe. But we're going to try to do it anyways. I know for you Elite members, I let you know that Cam tested positive for coronavirus. And so he is quarantined in his bunker at his house. And we're going to be doing the show remotely today. Cam, say hi.
What's going on, everybody?
Yeah, he's got the coronavirus. He's the Corona kid too now.
No, I meet up with the Rona.
He has it. His daughter has it. Your wife is clean. Is that correct?
Well, she got tested, and they told, it's crazy. They tested her and they said, well, it's a negative, but a presumed positive. So take that for what you will. But anyway, she got thrown in the lockdown too. They were like, well, we're just going to go ahead and toss you in there for good measure. So yeah, for the next 2 weeks, I am. And here's the sad thing, bro. This is the part that makes it not awesome at all. Not like this is awesome to start with. But one of the parts is, so as you get tested, you have to, since we all live here, you pretty much have to go off the one with the most recent test. So even though I might have been tested 3 or 4 days before they were, the last test is the date you get to start your 14 days from. So that's kind of the way this whole deal works out. So yeah, I am, I'm stuck.
You're stuck it on, but
a little bit, but
let the listeners know that, like, you don't feel terrible, right? You said that you, other than your sense of smell being gone and taste, you feel, yeah, pretty much feel pretty good.
Yeah, man. I felt like ass last week, for like a day and a half. Just all of a sudden, I woke up one day, felt like I had, it was when that Saharan dust is blowing in, and I'm like, and I've been doing due diligence. We always were joking, and you and I were talking, doing a lot of due diligence, because I have to have my temperature taken, we have to wear masks, there's so much protocol that we have to do at my job and in where I go for my job. So I'm like, I'm probably pretty well good. Well, last week, and of course, I work by myself all the time, like I don't work with anybody. So I wasn't feeling the best and woke up just like this cough I've got now. And I felt like I had bad allergies from that Saharan dust blowing in here. And so I didn't think anything of it. And then it never, and of course we weren't going anywhere anyway. We were still, you know, kind of staying in lockdown prior to this anyhow. There's no place to go. We weren't like we were out running around. But I noticed, like, I would get, I guess the thing that really got me is I started getting clammy, like having a clammy feeling, but I would never ran fever. Like I haven't ran fever yet, but I would get real clammy, and then I would get the chills. And right then I'm like, okay, something's not right. So that's when we contacted the doctor. I said, okay, I need to get in and get tested. They're like, okay, here's the time, here's the day, and here's how you do it. Everything was over the weekend. I was just tired, felt run down, but it could have been, you know, allergies, whatever. I was still working on the remodel, right? We're still just, I'm tearing out stuff, doing this, doing that, working and working. Get to Monday afternoon, and I noticed, like, I can't, my taste is going away. Like, all of a sudden, things aren't tasting. So, and right then, I'm like, well, it's probably because I'm all stopped up. So, Tuesday, when they could get me in for the test, of course, I get up, and I go up, and I get a coffee that morning, and I can't taste it. Like at all. And I was like, oh no. And that's when it dawns on me that I can't smell. You don't really realize when you get up and start going through your day.
And part that's of that's when getting
I
old.
I mean, like I couldn't smell. Oh yeah.
You just wake up, you feel bad. You don't notice it's anything else. You're just like, oh, I'm just getting old.
Yeah. And then that was it. That's pretty much what happened is I went and took the test and they, within 15 minutes, they came back with the result and was like, oh yeah, you're positive. This is the protocol. This is what you got to do. This, and this. So I had to go get all my stuff, you know, and go through all that rigmarole to get back, and then got back here, told the fam. I'm like, look, I got to quarantine off from everybody, this whole deal. And they're like, yeah, well, we ain't been feeling that great either. And they had already, when I scheduled mine, they had scheduled theirs. So the next day they went in and got theirs done. And then it turned out like this. So yeah, now we're here. Still no fever. Still don't feel bad. Kind of got a little bit of a cough. I feel tired and can't smell or taste anything. And then that's pretty much my life now for the next 14 days is seeing how this goes, seeing if it hopefully doesn't progress So we'll just see where this thing ends up. But yeah, I don't really want to have to go in there and go through what you went through. So hopefully we dodge that.
That's the crazy thing, man. It affects different people differently. And I think if you tested positive just a couple of days ago, that you would have started feeling bad by now. So I think you're probably will be okay.
Well, that's kind of what my doctor thought. She said the same thing. She said, going off the timeline of when you first noticed you weren't feeling good compared to now and the doing all that, she goes, I don't see it getting worse. But she, you know, she said, there's always a chance, but
right.
She said pretty much the same thing. It's like, I think this is the way it's going to be. Now, here's something that's pretty wild. We started having issues with it at my office. One of the people I work with came down, tested positive. And instantly everybody was like, put the brakes on. And they ramped it up, you know, even more, kind of keeping an eye out for it. And then throughout the last, I would say, 7 or 8 days at my office alone, I think there's 5 or 6, including myself now, that's tested positive, maybe more. We may be over that, maybe upwards of 9.
Yeah.
Like something like it. It seems well, like it's in my office now.
Yeah, it's because they lifted the restrictions in Texas. So, I mean, I kind of knew that this was coming, or I'm assuming they did too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, more people are out. It's going to spread, but we need this herd immunity. So it's kind of a good thing. So I know everybody is sick and tired of hearing about coronavirus, so we're not going to keep talking about it. But
no, that's it.
In the meantime,
that's all I can tell y'all.
Right. In the meantime, keep Cam in your prayers and his daughter and his wife too, if she probably has it as well. But
just really, really pray for me because I have to live here with those two women.
Yeah, so no kidding.
Right? Really, you're stuck at home. Special thought out for me.
I think you'll be okay because when I got it, I was I felt good and I was sick like 2 days later. I was on death's doorstep. So, but in the meantime,
that was weird. That's right. We had recorded, and then the very next day, you were hammered with it.
Yeah, but until Cam's quarantine is over, we're going to be working out a better way to get the show done because this sounds terrible. But we're scrambling at the last minute to get it to work. We never interview each other. It's really a different thing.
No.
So I'm at
odd.
Right. I'm at my house in my office. The kids and the family are at the water park, which is crazy, right? So the quarantine, everything, but the water parks are open. They could be popping home any minute now. So if you hear a bunch of kids, that's why I'm at the house. Cam's at his house. And
I'm chilling in my house.
Yeah. Well, let's try to put some crazy stories out there. Check this one out. This is about a possible dog man encounter. Check this out, Cam. It says, I wasn't really sure if what I saw was real, but after talking with some friends and reading Phantoms and Monsters, I've decided to tell my story. Now, keep in mind, I live in a small town called Milford, Michigan, and I've always heard some bizarre stories, but I wasn't too sure about what they were describing. A tall creature that creeps on four legs until startled, or entering chase, then proceeds to stand on two. A tall, dark figure that looks like a dog, I thought. These people must be crazy. Deer can do some weird stuff. My friend recently described a story of an encounter about a year earlier. My friend, let's say Sam, went outside to have a smoke around midnight or 1 a.m. in the morning. His yard has a hill that slopes down from his circle driveway all the way to a flat area near his basement door. Now, if you walk out of the basement, directly in front of you is a pond, and to the left is a shed they used to use. Now, at first, he noticed nothing, but as he looked closer, he noticed a dark figure on all fours. He took out his cell phone and shined his flashlight on the creature. Can you imagine that, Cam?
No, not at all.
To his surprise, the thing stood up on two legs. It screeched at him, then ran off into the woods. He told us about this encounter the next morning and took us to the spot where he saw it. Sure enough, there were dog prints. That wasn't really unusual, though, because he lives next to a subdivision, and we've already helped his neighbors find their dogs about 3 times since they moved in. So we shrugged it off. He then brought me into the woods where the creature ran into, and there was clearly a path that something took to get through. As much as my friend Sam tried to convince me, I still thought it was deer until recently. On December 24th, 2014, I went for a drive to go to Walmart to pick up some beer, just to relax and hang out with friends. Everything was perfectly fine. The moon was out, so you could see just a little bit. And there was no snow or rain, just a little dampness on the road from a previous rainfall about an hour beforehand. I was on my way back to my house and driving up a curvy hilled road up to the top of a hill, the only one in the subdivision. I noticed something in my neighbor's yard. Now I see deer in the subdivision all the time, and I've actually hit one on one occasion. So I decided to slow down. This thing was definitely the same size as a deer, so I didn't have any second thoughts. That is, until I got close, and it ran out in front of my car. Now, normally, when deer run in front of your car, they either freeze or run right by. And there are normally two or three of them. This was a single case. And when it ran across the road, albeit on four legs, it didn't run the same as a deer. When it ran, it didn't lift its head. It had it low to the ground and looked like it was sniffing something. It then lifted its head and looked, or more like glared at me, and bolted off to my right. But not before, shortly after, stopping right out of my view. I could still see the figure standing there, but I couldn't make out what it was. All I could see was it standing on its hind legs and what looked like staring at me. I kept trying to get my eyes to adjust from the bright of my headlights to the dark of the side of the road, but it just wouldn't happen. When I tried to turn my car around so I could shine my headlights at it, it bolted down the hill and into the woods, all while staying on two legs. I still remember the face that I saw when the thing glared at me. It looked like a wolf, but it was the size of a buck. That was the scariest moment of my life, and I've never seen anything like that before. I've Googled some information about it, and I found something about the Michigan Dog Man, but I don't want to be classified as one of those crazies. I can still see it standing on its hind legs looking at me in the dark. Thanks, Gigi. What do you think of that?
I think Gigi better be thankful.
Right? I mean,
Here's what's funny is over this weekend, I introduced my wife to the Missing 411 Hunters video.
Yeah, I've seen it.
And had her. Yeah, okay. And so I had her watch it and all that. And what's funny is her and I were talking, and I was like, some of these places, I go, what if it were dog men? And then her and I got, of course, talking about dog men. So that's what the whole idea, too, of, you know, me and you discussing it now was crazy is. But like we said before, they don't ever seem to be the bringer of good news, or like they don't ever seem to be like the hippie version. Like for some reason, everybody wants to act like Bigfoot. Now we do get a few, you know, tales of something, you know, not really evil, just kind of hateful of Bigfoot. But the dog man always seems to where it's almost like a completely evil entity that's involved with whatever it is.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. Did you notice that towards the end of 411 Hunters, there's that woman that has like a Glimmer Man sighting?
Yes, yes. Tries to take it. Well, my favorite thing about that whole little back and forth is whenever she talks about her, of course, her husband is like a beast when it comes to, I forgot what he did actually for years and years and years, but he is a visual, like I think for the government. But I want to say it was like for NASA or something, but he does visual, I guess you saw some type of research into the anything with film and video and photography, just pretty much any and everything.
He's one of those guys and that color grades the pictures of the moon and erases all the secret bases that are on the surface.
That's probably what he does. Yeah, you're right. But what I like what he pointed out about the photograph when people were talking about, well, she did this or she did that. When she tried to take a picture of the Glimmer Man, and he was like, it doesn't change the fact that the phone itself changed the pixels.
Yeah.
Like you would have to go into the phone and hard rewire the phone in order for it to do what it did. And he was like, it doesn't matter what you change on the outside, the inside, the wiring itself is what made the pixels different. And I was like, dude, that's crazy.
To
always think about these things is maybe that's what we're having with these problems that people have with getting good photos. If something is going on and it's changing like the hardware itself, you know, something it's done.
Yeah, actually, I'm glad you brought that up. I actually forgot about that part with the aspect ratio or whatever the photograph was taken with something that a phone wasn't even didn't even have the ability to do, yet it happened.
Yes.
I know.
Well, I have you on here. If we're going to be talking about, I've got one here from Manistee, Michigan, homie.
Oh, tell me, please.
Of a tall bipedal canine from Manistee. This is what it says. I live in the northwestern side of Michigan in Manistee and continue to live in the same home. I was in my mid-teens when this originally happened. It was at night. My bed was on one wall with a big window on the opposite side. I was on the first floor of the house, but we live on a hill, so it slanted still pretty good, so the window was about 9 foot off the ground. So anyway, I woke up one Saturday night feeling very thirsty. It was about 2 a.m. Everyone else in my family was fast asleep. And I was about to crawl out of bed and run down to the bathroom and get a look, you know, for a drink. And I looked out the window and I froze. At the very bottom of the window, there was a really dark shape. It looked kind of like the top part of a Timberwolf's head. It was a big thing with 2 points that looked like ears that sat on top. I couldn't make out any other features. So while I was, you know, scared at first, I just thought it was the reflection of something in my room. Until it moved. You know how a dog twitches their ears and then perks them up when they're trying to hear better? Well, that's exactly what this thing did. The 2 points that I took for ears twitched and then came back into place. And it wasn't a subtle movement at all, so I knew it wasn't just a reflection. And I immediately thought of all the dog man accounts that I had heard from our area. And I got very scared. And so I did the typical kid thing, and I pulled the covers over my head and went back to sleep without getting my water. Now, in the morning, I went outside by the window and noticed disturbed ground, like a man or something on 2 legs had been standing there. But there were no shoe prints, but what looked like elongated wolf prints. There were no marks on the side of the house. And the thing that really stumps me is wondering how anything would manage to stay up by a window that's 9 foot off the ground in the first place. After all these years, I've caught glimpses of a tall biped canine on 2 occasions. The most recent was just a few weeks ago. As I was in the yard mowing the grass, and I saw it moving through the woods. Now, I'm terrified that this creature may be stalking my family. Has anyone heard of similar encounters in this area? SD. Now, what I would like to add to that is after you had witnessed something like that, any movement that you may think is out of place or out of the ordinary, you could possibly think was dog man. So yeah. Maybe it really wasn't a dog man that was out there in the woods this most recent time, but it was when they saw it as a child.
Right. But yeah.
Also, too. When you hear these and you hear these tales of dog man and think about them attaching themselves to a family, it always feels to me almost like a curse or like a shaman or like a medicine man. Something along the lines has taken offense to something that you've done. Like you think of the old gypsy man in Thinner, the Stephen King movie and book. You remember as he runs over the daughter and then he curses them, you know, and it feels like it would have that kind of ring to it. But anyway, there's yet another dog man tale.
Yeah, that's a really good point. The point about the curse or something. I know that there's not of, you know, ancient Native American cultures and stuff where they had like, you know, witches or witch doctors or whatever. And they would curse people or different tribes, you know, that inflicted pain or harm on them. They would, you know, do these rituals where they would, you know, cast a spell or something. I don't know, but yeah, that's a really good theory. I never really thought about it like that. Possibly that person's, maybe that person's distant relative without realizing it. Maybe their great, great, great grandfather did something terrible to some Native Americans back in the day. And they, you know, put a curse on the family and it's followed them around. They were just unaware of that. I don't know.
Well, I think about that a lot whenever you hear these stories of ghosts that follow certain families or bad luck that follows certain families. Was there one person in their lineage, you know, maybe 200 years ago that actually wronged someone and got the curse put on the family? And they may never know it. And it's one of those things that you may never be able to lift it until you knew what wrong you had done.
Right. Yeah, that's a good theory.
Which would be awful. That'd be terrible.
Speaking of terrible, you know that I have a love of spiders. We've talked about it many times on the show. In fact, I was working in this very office right here the other day, and I felt some. We got a new cat. We got a new kitten. And it, as all little kittens do, they like to run around and bite at your feet and stuff. I'm sitting here typing away, and I felt something go, like, brush along my foot or something. So I assumed it was the kitten, but when I looked down, it was like a giant wolf spider had just crawled across my foot without me even knowing it. I was freaked out. I went and purchased a whole bunch of poison and stuff. Now, anybody...
And new underwear?
Yeah. But
I had to cut those off.
Yeah, my Mack Weldons.
thrown away.
Right? But I found a really interesting case on Carl Shuker's blog. Now, Carl Shuker, we never actually had him on the show. I remember about 6 years ago, we were in contact with him. We were going to have him on, and he was having some kind of eye surgery. And then after that, his mother passed away. I mean, it was just like a whole bunch of things that caused that. But we need to get him on the show because that dude's got some really good books. I remember the book Mirabilis, and I think he just came out with a new one recently. I don't remember the name of it, but he has a blog, and on there, it's just like the other blogs we talk about. He's got a lot of interesting stories. Well, he was recently contacted by a guy that was in the military, and he was stationed in Louisiana on a base. And he says that there was giant spiders living there in the swamps of Louisiana, if you can imagine that.
Why does that not surprise me?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, but because the swamps are scary. I don't know.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, they are.
But he wrote in, and Carl says that he has all this stuff on file. He's been cataloging it and stuff. And he says that the troubled soldier says that the experiences he had with these creatures has been troubling him for years. He knew that Mr. Shuker had an interest, you know, with work relating to mystery creatures, and he decided in 2019 to reveal to Carl through a series of emails what he said. So I'm going to read exactly in the soldier's own words. Check this out, Kim. It says, there were three separate incidents where I witnessed giant spiders at Fort Polk, Louisiana, in 2005 and in 2007. Now, these incidents took place at U.S. Army training areas twice at night and one time during the day. Here is my detailed account from 2005. He says that to Carl that he will send more information on the 2007 sightings later. I do not have those today. This is me speaking. But hopefully Carl will be coming out with those because I would love to read those as well. But it says, recalling this matter was difficult and stressful, but I needed to get it off my chest as these events have haunted me for over a decade. I reached out to you in hopes that this helps with your research and may someday lead to enlightening the world to the existence of these creatures. But in the meantime, I prefer to remain anonymous, but give you full rights to use my story. Here it goes. In 2005, I was a U.S. Army soldier stationed at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, with D Company, 1st Battalion, 101st Aviation. Sometime in early 2005, the 101st Airborne Division traveled to Fort Polk, Louisiana's Joint Readiness Training Center for several weeks of complex field training. In the early evening, I was asked to escort a female soldier. For her privacy, I'll call her Sergeant Becky. From our company tents to our motor pool, walking on a dirt road between two wooded areas, both of us holding flashlights. She was roughly 5 paces, or 10 to 15 feet, in front of me when she tripped, stumbled down, and started screaming in high-pitched shrieks. As I ran up, checking on her, I saw a large, hairy thing about 4 feet away from her on the wood line at the right side of the road. Now, at the time, I was not wearing my glasses, and being nearsighted, it was mostly blurry until I closed the distance next to Sergeant Becky. That's where I froze in place, about 5 feet from the hairy thing. As I focused on it for a few seconds, I could see the creature had whitish gray or beige bristles all over it, and mottled color variations. The head was rectangularly shaped, with curved corners and small bumps trailing down into ridges along the sides. The creature had two large black eyes, about 2 inches around, and several smaller black eyes, or spots, on its head. at first approach, his head was about 3 feet from the ground, with two long, thin legs raised up in front, reaching 5 feet up in the air, with several long, thin, stick-like legs supporting behind it, each one about an inch round. As I was running up, I unknowingly kicked rocks and dirt right at the thing, and it reacted by instantaneously backing up and pulling its head and legs down and back to about 2 feet from the ground and balled up roughly 2 feet around. I could see it perfectly still for a second while I froze in place. Then, eventually it popped its head up briskly to 3 feet again and splayed its legs out to about 4 or 5 feet wide and opened its mouth like it was going to pounce. The mouth hole was about 2 to 3 inches wide. The fangs were about 4 to 5 inches long, a ruddy, reddish-brown colored, with fuzzy bristles all over the mouth. Now both Sergeant Becky and I fired our M4 carbines at it, but we only had blank rounds for training. But with the flash and the noise, it scurried back into the trees and was gone in a split second. Sergeant Becky was still screaming, trying to crawl away, and was stuck on something on the ground that looked like a rope. I stepped on it too, and it was stuck to my boot. I had to cut her loose with my knife. We were both uninjured, save for Sergeant Becky being severely traumatized by the incident. This required her removal from training and Commander's referral to mental health. Now later, when our senior leadership inspected the area, we found long, sticky, spiderweb-like strings leading to a half-meter hole that was thatched over with leaves. The same material that stuck to our boots and my knife, which I could only clean off with a cigarette lighter. Now, the military refused to believe us and insisted that we only saw a wild dog suffering from mange. The sergeant was referred to mental health on a long-term basis, and we were both ridiculed and ordered not to talk about it anymore. I was called into the mental health facility on return to Fort Campbell to corroborate Sergeant Becky's story and the subsequent stress issues. Now, our leadership at the time actively discouraged me from offering any details other than that I saw a hairy thing about the size of a dog. I have not talked about it with anyone since. Is this not crazy?
That's wild.
Right? It goes on to say, check this out. It says, on the same night of the 2005 incident, while our senior leadership was reviewing the spider hole area, we found a circular thatched cover about a half meter wide, hinged to the back of the hole with some type of glue. It was woven from small sticks and leaves glued together with an unknown substance with a symmetrical radial patterning. It was sturdy and lightweight. There was also a very strong, acrid ammonia-like scent at the site, which persisted on our clothes for several days. An opposition force sniper disappeared the next night, not very far from the original incident. I was in the back of a truck pulling guard duty at a flight line perimeter fence near a heavily wooded area when I caught an opposition force soldier, for privacy I'll call him Sergeant Sam, sneaking up on our position. I tackled Sergeant Sam and held him in place while his teammate was firing at our position from inside the wood line. We heard sounds from the wood line of someone crying out, and then abruptly silenced, followed by snapping branches, and then something moving in the brush. After the training cadre cleared and reset our position, Sergeant Sam went back to check on his teammate, who was not answering his radio, and he could not be found. Sergeant Sam came back insisting that something was wrong. The next morning, Sergeant Sam and his teammates led a search for the missing soldier, finding only a torn piece of his scarf in the woods near our position, which he said his friend really cared for that scarf and would never tear it apart. I guess it had some kind of sentimental value. They don't ever leave anything behind. He was meticulous about his job and his equipment. The sniper's disappearance during a training exercise, lack of response to radio calls, and absence from rally points, all being highly unusual and disturbing to his teammates. Army investigators were oddly aloof and unconcerned, citing that lots of good soldiers go AWOL and end up leaving to go to New Orleans. Anyways, a few days afterward, and very late at night, several soldiers and I heard something walking across the tin of our double barn-sized sleeping quarters. It sounded like slow, heavy raindrops for 1 minute, and then stopped abruptly. Now, there was no rain at the time, and when we went outside to look, there was nothing on the roof. Another night, a soldier claimed he awoke to what he thought was an old bearded man with huge black goggles lying prone on the ground at the doorstep, staring at us through the open door of the tent. He said that the man crawled back quickly and was gone over a 10-foot fence and back into the woods in seconds when he sat up to question him. Now, a rumor circulated from the local post soldiers that a wildlife management ranger and a tree-mounted deer blind had observed 8 of these creatures gathered in a remote clearing, facing each other in a circle, taking turns placing sticks into a pile. I find this highly dubious and probably a fable to scare visitors, but it does show that the locals already have awareness of these things and openly joke about them. So what do you think of that? A giant...
It's almost like he kicked...
Do what?
Remember you and I had talked about this not long ago. You and I had this discussion where we were like, I wonder if there's still things that people, like still critters out there that people are like, yeah, nobody needs to know about this. Like maybe they're not a whole lot of them. But you remember we were like, hey, I wonder if there's still places around this in not just the world, but here in the U.S. where people are like blatantly aware, like the whole town is aware that this might happen. I always think back to the pub scene in American Werewolf in London, is they all knew. Everybody knew, you know, what that sound was and what was going
on. Yeah, what was that?
Remember
what
they leave, and the woman's like, you got to go get them. You can't leave them out there.
Right.
I always think of that whenever these stories like this come up.
I mean, a spider the size of a dog, a giant hole with, like, web-like structure. I mean, that's terrifying. But, you know, they find things in the ocean all the time that they didn't know was there. I mean, anybody who's been to the swamps in Louisiana, I mean, I definitely think there's probably unknown creatures living in that.
I would think so.
I just can't imagine.
A spider that size, I guess when I think of one that big, I always think of it like, I know it's ridiculous, but I'm always like, I think of it looking like a giant tarantula. Like the legs are huge, like 2-inch PVC, you know, they're just massive. But that doesn't necessarily, I mean, look at a daddy long legs. If you blew that thing up to where its body was the size of a basketball, then think about how big it would be.
Well, yeah, you're 100% right.
You know, it would be insane.
Yeah, and his details of the legs, he said they were only about an inch around in diameter, you know?
Yeah. So it just makes, but I don't know, it just.
Terrifying.
There may not be like a breeding population, but what if there are just a few relics that every now and again, you know, like we have normal people, then we have like giants like Shaquille O'Neal, you know, or just big men like that. Imagine if every now and again, just a random species, it just happens to. And it just, maybe there's something wrong with it and it just grows and gets huge.
I hate the idea of a gigantic spider, but I'd much rather have a gigantic spider than a gigantic praying mantis. Because those little things are pretty, they're pretty tough to stomp out. At the current size, I mean, those things are terrible. My wife, every year for the kids, don't ask me why, she orders these, like, they're not eggs. It looks like, you never seen, like, a dirt dauber make a nest? She orders these.
Yeah.
And she orders them, and there are thousands of praying mantises in them. And they hatch, and she lets them go. Her and Luke do on the flower beds and gardens.
It's supposed to be good for the plants, right? It keeps all the bugs away.
Yeah, I mean, and these things are, I mean, tiny, very tiny, like I would say half or a quarter of the size of a grain of rice. I mean, they're tiny, but those things grow up
about,
and can kill hummingbirds.
Yes. My thought on something like that is imagine being just a bug living your life down there in your wife's plant and you weren't aware because you hadn't been there that long that they was going to be like a plague of death. And all of a sudden you look up and there's just clouds of young praying mantises coming. And you're like, what? Wait, this place was heaven on earth. And then there's just this wave of death makes its way through.
Yeah, it would look like Starship Troopers, where those big praying mantis like bugs everywhere. Yeah, yeah, it would look like that.
Yes, Klondathu. Klondathu was the name of the bug planet.
Oh, man. I had forgotten that.
Remember, it's shooting that liquid like lava out of its ass, that giant beetle.
Yeah, I remember that. I think they made like 3 or 4 more of those, although I've only seen the first one.
Yeah, I'm not watching the other ones. The first one's the best one. Just leave it for what it is.
The movie wasn't really
like
that bad.
Like everything else.
When it came out, it really wasn't that bad.
The first one's not.
Yeah.
Well, it was openly corny.
Yeah.
Like they acknowledged that some of the stuff they were doing was kind of corny. The way they would always do the ads about being a civilian, and then you know, to be like a real citizen, you had to serve in the military to get like your right to vote or something.
Yeah. That's probably not a bad idea.
Yeah.
But there's lots of movies like that. You know, it's kind of spoofy, like Mars Attacks. You know, I like that.
Oh, and that's a great film.
Yeah. Yeah. Luke loves that. Loves it.
I yesterday just finished watching again because I own it. Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
That's a wonderful film. And then Waldo posted up. What was it I saw online where they're doing their drink? They're going to give their cheers, their toast. And that's whenever he says, you know, may the wings of liberty never lose a feather and all that. You remember when they're talking about the colors that never run and they go on the whole deal. You remember they drank the potion.
Right.
He's like, I see things other people can't see.
Yeah. Well, recently HBO, they turned it into HBO Max. And I'm telling you, man, they got a lot of good stuff over there.
Oh, do they?
Oh, yeah. That's got like 10 times the amount of movies that were just on there like a month ago. All kinds of stuff.
Oh, wow.
It's really good.
They're not messing around.
I just saw
that. Speaking of not messing around, I got you something creepy here, homie, that I think you're going to enjoy.
Yeah.
Because it's something you can relate to, is like being a kid. These people here, listen to this thing. It says, my sighting occurred southeast of our cabin near Danbury, Wisconsin. The cryptid was very wolf-like. And it definitely was not a bear. As well as I'm pretty sure wolves don't run upright. So I was 17 at the time, and it was midsummer. We were at our cabin in northwest Wisconsin. And I was with my cousin and grandparents for the weekend, and I had brought my airsoft gear. So my cousin and I are in mid-airsoft battle. I took it more seriously than he. And I was decked out in full BDU woodland camo, including a shema. I retreated into the forest for better tactical advantage. Uh-oh, that's where it always goes wrong. So the way our land was set up, there's a trail that cuts around the border of an almost acre of owned forest. Our skirmish took us about 200 meters into the woods, going up the right trail. So I'm a huge outdoorsman. I was introduced to hunting and survival training, as well as firearms at a young age. I also have been practicing MMA for a few years at that point. Uh-oh, look out, y'all.
Tough guy
in the woods.
Tough guy, Lars.
Tough guy in the woods. That's right. The point is, I'm not easily scared, and I'm comfortable in the wild. I'm now 25 and have had even more training. I respect the wild a lot more now, but I was cocky back then. Anyway, here's where things get strange. Our battle had ended, and we were just standing at the edge of a slightly clearer area of forest and talking. On the other side of the clearing is a hill that goes down to a small pond. Animals are a common sight around there, as it's a watering hole. So now, as any experienced outdoorsman will know, most small animals will go about their business even when humans are around. Birds will still chirp and whatnot. But when a big predator is around, the forest goes dead quiet. So my cousin and I are talking, and I decided to freak him out. So I shushed him and whispered, "We're being watched." And he got quiet. Then I realized that it was dead quiet. Not even the birds were chirping anymore. And then I got that feeling, you know, like that you really are being watched. I went into hunter mode at this point and started scanning the clearing. I went from right to left, then back. On the second look through, I saw it. Its teeth are what gave it away as they contrasted with the background. Once I focused on it, I noticed a canid appearance in the head. It had dark reddish brown hair or fur. And where it gets even stranger is when it was leaning on a tree with its hands on its front left arm gripping the tree. It appeared to have claws, and it was panting and staring in our direction with its ears up listening while kneeling or crouching. I recognized it as a threat, as a predator immediately. Now, this all happened in a span of maybe 10 seconds before I said to my cousin, we have to go. He was a faster runner than me. And when I said that I was still watching the animal, my cousin took off. And when he ran, the animal raised up and ran towards us. It took a good 3 steps on 2 legs before I started to run. As I was turning to run, it appeared to have the possibility of being going down on all fours. I got to the fork in the trail to find my cousin waiting. I yelled for him to go, 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 and we ran back to the cabin. While running out, I could hear it crashing through the woods behind me, but it didn't follow beyond the tree line. At the time, I thought it had had the intention, rather, to do harm. But now that I look back on it, I think it was just being either territorial or a bluff charge. Most animals can easily outrun humans on foot. If it really wanted one of us, it would have gotten us. I have tried to explain it away as being a bear or a big wolf, but what I saw just never adds up. It just wasn't a known animal, and I'm still stumped by it today. I was recently added to a group of people who have had similar sightings. They say mine falls in line with other sightings, and they believe it to be a dog man, which I think is the cheesiest name they could have chosen. But I admit that what I saw is very similar, if not the same, as what these others have claimed to see. I have different theories regarding the creature, though. I am normally very skeptical. However, I know that what I saw was not normal, and I am less skeptical than I used to be now. I'm still nervous about the forest. I don't go into the woods alone or unarmed anymore. I'm not scared of any man, but I certainly don't want anything to do with anything that looks like a werewolf again. And by the way, all of this happened in broad daylight. T. So there you go. Tough guy T.
Yeah.
T's.
Yeah.
I don't hear him throwing no like axe kicking dog man in the face. Dog man was running. He was taking off in his tap out shorts.
Yeah, this guy thinks he's very, very full of himself. I'm very high up on himself. He's not afraid of him. He's not afraid of any man. He does MMA. He's a 25-year-old in the woods.
Survival.
He's a 25-year-old male in the woods with an airsoft gun. That would be.
No, he was 17 at the time.
Oh, my bad. Okay. All right.
You're already being hateful.
I'll cut him some slack on that. I mean, but can you imagine seeing a werewolf and you got an airsoft gun? That'd be like you and me hunting in the woods. A grizzly bear show up and the only bow and arrows we got are the ones with suction cups on the end.
Right.
You know what I mean? What are you going to do?
Yeah. You got to trip one another up. It looks like Laurel and Hardy trying to get out of the woods.
You know, in all honesty, though, it very easily could have been a bear from what he saw. I think.
I mean, he just doesn't seem to think so. You know, the way he said it was staring or grasping the tree and staring at him. But I guess it could be. It could. My thing is I haven't been around bears enough. Like, I think when you grow up around them, it's just like us growing up around a coyote or anything else around here. As you see it all the time, or like pigs. But I think if you weren't, like for me, I mean, if I was to see something in the woods, I could easily mistake a bear for some other kind of creature, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. All I know about bears is like they like donuts. They like honey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually,
that's true.
You know, like when I don't think the bears are actually eating the honey. I think they're going after the larva, the bee larva that's in the hive. There's more nutrients in that or something I heard.
That's your story. Yeah. I think they like the honey.
I don't know. I like honey. I don't know anything about bears, though. Although... I would probably like to see them from the comforts of like, I don't know, a helicopter.
The comforts of YouTube. That's a good place to watch a bear.
The comforts of my drone.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good place to watch bear. A good place to see them are like on Instagram. You don't want those things around you.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I can go on the Disney Channel and I can go to the Nat Geo section and I can watch all kinds of videos about bear. I really don't want to be in a stream next to a bunch of grizzlies feeding off salmon.
Well, you're out there fly fishing, you look up, and one of them's about to push you out into a sandbank.
Oh, they won't mess with you. That's what the people tell you. And you're like, I don't know. I saw the
Revenant. Bears are real cool till they're not.
Yeah, right?
That's how they work.
Although, what do they always say? Just play dead as the thing's eating you.
Yeah, you don't have to play for long.
Yeah.
That's the best thing about it.
Oh, man. Well, that is...
Yeah. crazy.
Crazy stories. And I have to agree with the guy. The Dog Man is a pretty lame name as far as, you know, cryptid sounding names go.
But it fits.
It does fit. And I know why people do it, because they don't want to call the thing a werewolf. They just don't. Even though it's got the description of exactly a werewolf, they don't want to call it that. So people will give it names like a Dog Man, or it was a skinwalker, or what, upright canine. Let me ask you something
with that.
Yeah, sure.
Do you think that they stick with, like, if you were to call it a werewolf, wouldn't that infer that it has a human side, that it has to change into this wolf?
Yes,
Whereas a Dog Man, they never see it change. So the Dog Man would make you think, like, it's just a Dog Man.
Yeah, it's always in that form
of just hatefulness.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I think that's
the best thing I can tell folks. Carry a rawhide chew toy with you when you go in the woods. A Dog Man comes out, you can just pitch it over there, or you can get those packets or those pods that you put your dog's medicine in and give it to them. They eat it, then you can put like Quaaludes or something in there, and then you just throw one out and the Dog Man will eat it, and then he'll be all drugged up and then he's done, so you can run away.
You're talking about like slipping a Dog Man like some Molly or some GHB or something. You're talking about doping Dog Man?
Doping. Yeah, I'm talking about dosing. I'm talking about straight up just dosing Dog Man. Whatever will get you out of there, whatever, maybe he'll leave you alone.
Right. Yeah, you got to
go. Because we know Bigfoot likes
beef jerky.
Yeah. I don't know what Dog Man would like.
That's a good question.
We're saying, maybe you have to give him, I don't know, like I said, a rawhide chew toy and a Four Loko. I don't know. Everything you see on TV about Dog Man or werewolves is always like some pieces of crap or something. So maybe he's just likes to party. Or maybe he's just misunderstood and needs to be just brushed. Maybe you need to give him an egg in his diet so his coat gets shiny.
Yeah, I wonder, can the Dog Man get parvo?
Probably.
Right. Can he get mites and
stuff? I would think so.
Please,
how come you never see a Dog Man with like a bald spot where he's been scratching his back on a tree?
Right. I'll tell you what I'd like to believe. I would like to believe that Bigfoot is real and that he's a gentle giant and he's our friend and he's actually looking out for our best interest by protecting us from the Dog Man, and that there's this secret war going on in the woods that we're not even aware of.
That would be an amazing book and movie.
You have my permission.
Bigfoot is defending the realm against Dog Men and all the others.
Yeah, yeah. I like that. Like, what's the series? Underworld, where it's the lichens versus the vampires?
Yeah.
The vampires, yeah. That's pretty good. The first one, I guess, was pretty good. I don't know that I've seen them all.
Heck yeah. I haven't seen them all.
So, what have you been doing during your quarantine? I mean, have you been building like birdhouses? Have you been painting? What have you been doing?
I've been shooting my bow.
Oh, there you go.
And all like every day I go outside, I shoot my bow, go out in my backyard and reading. And then that's pretty much it. I mean, you can only do so much around the house and then you just kind of get stuck there. I do a lot of sitting on the front porch watching YouTube videos. Oh, I do a lot of that. Yeah. So what's funny is when you're at work, you're always like, man, I wish I had a week off to just do nothing, you know, or I wish that, until you get that. And when it's forced on you, that's when you're like, man, I don't want to be here doing this anymore.
Yeah.
So it's kind of one of those. I am thankful in a way. I wish they weren't sick too, but I am glad that I have my family, because if it was just me and I had to quarantine to a room, it would be worse. But also, too, I'm also very thankful that I'm not sick.
Right.
Like, I have these things, but it's more like an asymptomatic. Like, I mean, Khabib Nurmagomedov's father passed away today.
I saw that.
From complications with COVID. I mean, there's people, one of the ladies that I know, a good friend of ours, she lost a coworker a couple of months ago to COVID. Like, I see all that. So it's not one of those deals like I'm brushing it off. I'm just really, really glad that I don't have it and I can at least hop on here, talk to y'all, do all of this. Still, it's just kind of like a more of an inconvenience for me than life-threatening right now. And I hope it doesn't escalate, but who knows?
Yeah, unfortunately, 2020 has been one hell of a year for everyone, right? I mean, it is just...
Yeah.
Man, It's been a rough one, but yeah, I'm glad we can still jump on here. I know people that the audio does not sound very good. Like I said, I'm going to work with that in the next couple of days to try to figure out something that sounds better than this, but it is what it is. So keep Cam and his family in your prayers. Everybody out there, please be safe, social distance yourself, wear your mask, wash your hands, just be careful. If you have any stories, please email me and Cam at expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. Like Cam talked about on previous episodes, if your story is really good, it might appear in a book that we're going to be putting out. You know, be very lengthy if you can. Be thorough. If you don't want your name used, just use an alias. It's really simple. You can follow the show on all forms of social media. And I just want to thank everybody for being here. Till next time, folks, I'm Kyle Filson. He's Cam Hale.
Peace, y'all.